It's good to see you today. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Joel, the second chapter, we're going to, we'd gotten up through verse 25 last week, but we want to back up to verse 21 today and start reading there. And a couple of things as we, before we read, this morning to understand that I want to remind you about when you're reading in the Bible, it's this thing called, it's already, but not yet, idea. And that kind of blends in with something we call dual fulfillment. And both of those ideas will surface in the passages that we'll read today. Hopefully we'll get to the end of chapter 2 as a standing in for Brother Rick today. All right, someone, if you will, like for you to stand up and read verses 21 through 25. You can read it on this or you can read it in your own translation, but someone stand up and with a good outside voice and read that. All righty. Question. What's he talking about? So historically, had the land and had the people, the Jews, had judgment. And if so, when? Well, let's just look. Let's take a little historical overview and see about judgment. We call them the lost 10 tribes. They were never lost to the Lord. The northern kingdom. You know, after Solomon, after King Solomon, and by the way, if you look at that map and you see the extent of the kingdom, it was humongous during that time. And how modern historians can ignore that, I don't think, but they do. It's like the Jews don't exist in history. It's like they wipe them out. And that's wrong. That's people spinning history for their own purposes. But you read and you see the extent of Solomon's kingdom. Well, when Solomon dies, what happens to the kingdom? Come on. You know what happened. You have a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Northern kingdom has its capital at Samaria. Southern kingdom, capital at Jerusalem. So you have two. The kingdom is divided. So would you call that judgment? There's a division. There's a judgment. Well, then the Assyrians come in and what happens to the northern kingdom? Gone. 10 tribes scattered all over the world. Literally. All over the world. So then you've got a southern kingdom left. And southern kingdom, then they have and really, you can't understand Joel if you don't understand this. You can't understand it. It's gibberish. That makes sense if you can't get this grid in your mind about historically, because he's speaking things with a historical background. This idea of them, it being green. This idea of blessing coming to the land again and all that. Okay. So, Babylonians come in. That starts about 602-603. Yeah, the first wave gets carried off. That's probably when Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, they go during that deportation. Babylonians are camped out there again, 597, another group goes. And then finally in 587, 586, the last group, completely gone. How long are they over in Babylon in captivity? It is a completion of time. 70 years. 70 years. So, then they get restored by the Darius. You know, they get to, they come back to the land, and there is somewhat of a restoration that takes place. Until when? What's the next huge event? We'll have to get into the Maccabees and all that, and the struggle that took place there. But zoom on down to 70 AD, and what happens in 70 AD? Huh? Temple's destroyed. They are wiped out. And in that event, the Romans come in and they level it. What did Jesus say in his prophecy about that? What did he say was going to happen to the place there? Not one stone will be left upon another. And did that literally happen? You better believe it happened. It happened. And so then you have the balance of whatever is left is then scattered. Where did the Jews go? All over the place. We don't know all the places they went. All sorts of theories about what happened to them. You know, there's even a theory. Kennedy, having lunch with him one day this week, he said there's even a theory that the Igbos are the Jews of Africa. I mean, there's all sorts of theories about where they go, but literally they go. Now, let me ask you this. Do the Jews continue to remain to be a people over all those years? Now, you race down to, you know, two millennia, and you get down to the year 1948. And what happens in 48? May, that afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, bingo bango. The people that needed to be on vacation that week were on vacation. The people who thought that they were doing something else were at the place where they were thinking they were doing something else. And the people who wanted the Jews to have a homeland, they were front and center and got to bring their opinion for God. It was the right time, and they came back to the land. John shows those pictures. All right. The picture on your left is roughly, this is an aerial shot. I can't give you the exact date for that one on your left, but it's early in their time in the land. What did the land look like when the Jews took control? When they officially started living there, officially, many of them were already living there in the land and already moved there with a view to that something was going to happen. You know, you read about all that stuff. You can look up Zionism on the internet. Be careful what you get there. You get all kind of nuts on there. And if you get a strange feeling about what you're reading, it's probably a red flag the Holy Spirit's bringing up to you. Need to be careful with that. Are you following me so far? Early on, that's what it looked like. That's a pretty, the one on the right is within the last 10 years. It's a lot better than that. What do you see the big difference between those two pictures? Green, fertile. What in the Bible, just what did we just read? Let's read it again. Somebody stand up, read 21 through 25 again. During the time of, say, going back to the kingdom of Solomon, what do you reckon what did the land look like during those times? I know we don't have anybody that was there at that time, but you've read the documents here that describe it. What did it look like? All right, describe lush. Lush, what does it mean, lush? Were there trees there? When I say the word tree, is that something that particularly you who are closer to my age associate with the area of Israel and that area of the Middle East? When I say tree, what do you associate with it? When I say terrain there, what is the picture you get in your mind? Dust, dirt, sand. So let me ask you this. Was the prophecy that we read earlier about the locust and all that, was that fulfilled on the physical land of Israel? The prophecies about the locusts coming and all, what happened to the land? It's barren. Did locusts really come? You better believe they came. Both physical and spiritual locusts that came to the land. And you know, here's a tip for you when you're looking for something. If you want to get a hint about something in the spiritual realm, look at the hints you get in the physical realm. Can you see that? You understand that? So, what hints do we get from the land of what had happened to the Jewish people over these two millennia? What happened to them? Scattered, dispersed. So, but I want you to see that this already but not yet statement, there was a sense in which there was a judgment. There was a judgment back with the northern kingdom. Triple judgment with the southern kingdom. You come on down to the time of the Maccabees, another time of judgment there. And then you come right on down to 70 AD, and it's gone. It's obliterated. That is a significant thing. Because what also stopped when there was in 70 AD, something else stopped that they were doing before that. Sacrifice. And so, if you've studied Judaism today, Judaism, to stay alive as a religion, had to switch horses, which they did. They changed about what's important. But what we know is going to happen in the future in that land, as the Lord says, going to restore it. What's going to happen again? They're going to have a temple there, and there's going to be sacrifice there. That's what the Scripture says. We see the green has already taken place. So as we read this, I'll never forget, I was sitting in David Pennell's apartment in his little flat in Haringey out in the northern part of London one day. He'd give me this book by this guy. I was reading the book that was in his library. Wasn't any special book, but the guy was a Jew who had come to faith in Jesus, and he was and I was reading one of the Psalms that he was exegeting there, and he was talking about its fulfillment, and it hit me that day. I'll never forget. I could put an X on the floor right there in that place and say it was right here at this spot that the Lord showed me that he is fulfilling Scripture now. In my life, in studying the Word, I always put fulfillment of Scripture comfortably out in the future. But you see, that's a trick of the enemy. Because we're living in the time of scriptural fulfillment. And Bobby just read, look at this. The wilderness has turned green. Has it turned green? The tree has borne fruit. Are trees bearing fruit in Israel right now? You better believe it. The fig tree and the vine have yielded in full. Is that happening in Israel right now? Is rain coming? Are their vats overflowing? Have they been blessed? Do they have enough to eat? Now, let me tell you, another story for another day, but just briefly, you look at that, you know, and here's Israel right here. X marks the spot. And then they're surrounded by all these huge Muslim, basically, countries. Are they being blessed? What's happening in all these countries? War and all. And here you got, by the way, just footnote out the side here, but you can remember this for another day. But you got these displaced Palestinians. Think. Displaced Palestinians. When in reality, what they are the malcontents that have come from around here, and they're trying to ship them into right here. There's plenty of land out here. Isn't there? Do you see the idiocy of this? Do you see how foolish this is? How obvious it is. Just like I show you those pictures, how obvious this picture is of what we just read. That's God. That's God at work. He says, the threshing floors will be full of grain. Go on to verse 26. Somebody read 26 and 27 for us. Yeah, John, you can swap back. 26 and 27, somebody read. Okay, time-wise, okay, we're charting this chronologically so far, okay? All right, that greening has begun, and that's happening. He says you're going to have plenty to eat, and you're going to praise the name of Yahweh, your Elohim, your one true God, the great I Am. And you will praise His name. Well, let me ask you this. Is that happening in Israel right now? Let me ask you, there you go. Good verb there, Stephen. What verb did you use? That has begun happening. I've heard all kinds of statistics about this. But a good way to decide if something is happening, and the statistics I'm talking about, the statistics of how many true, now that's the vernacular today of Jews. We used to use this word. We used to use this phrase. Remember this? Some of you that used to be completed Jews, y'all remember having the token Jewish guy that would come to your church that had received Yeshua into his life, and he would. Y'all didn't have that in your church. Okay, well that's been the old name. Here's the new name, the Messianic. Those who have received Yeshua as Messiah. In other words, our brothers and sisters, Jews really don't like to use the word Christ because of how that word has been used by the Germans, the Nazis, by all those who have done things to them over the years. So many times they'll use the Hebrew expression like Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus in Spanish and in Greek. So Messianics, how many do you think are in Israel today? Got a guess? Anybody read anything on that? I'm asking. I mean, the last thing I read was this guy said he believed he could verify there were 10,000. How many do you think there were there in 1948? 10, maybe. Now, a good way to mirror this is to take a look at like Messianic congregations in America. 1967 war in Israel. This guy read, Jewish guy read, he was given that he was a Messianic, a complete Jew. Some they don't like that word. I mean, you're going to offend somebody today no matter what terminology you use. And I've been around this long enough, my entire adult life. The name, whatever you call it, you're going to make somebody mad with this. So if I've offended you with one of these names, I ask your forgiveness, but it's not because of ignorance. I got to describe it some way. But this guy said in 67, there were that many Messianic congregations in the United States. How many of you think there are today? 15 years ago, there were 300 identifiable ones in the United States. How many do you think there are today? You think there are more? Many, many more. Because what's happening? What's happening with Jewish people today? 48, they come back to the land, they have an identifiable place. What's happening with Jews all over the world right now? Which is? And what are they doing? They're returning. You know anybody? Have you had a friend, a family member, that has told you about someone, a friend that they had, that has either gone back themselves or sent their children back? And then what happens a lot of times after they go there to school? They decide to stay. Jews are coming from all over the world. Did you see that they were already using the armband thing in the Ukraine? Man, if that doesn't scare the stuff out of you, right there. Let me ask you, footnote out to the side here. All right, we prosecuted what, 48 people at Nuremberg? I don't know, how many? That they prosecuted at Nuremberg trials after World War II. Nazis the people that did jail time. How about all the rest of those thousands and thousands of people all over Europe that were putting Jews to death? What happened to them? Did they go underground? So to think that, okay, World War II, you know, we live in this Pollyanna world, we did away with anti-Semitism, and all is right with the world. And we see it right now. We see that's not taking place. We see it's raising its evil head. At the same time, and I want you to see that, at the same time anti-Semitism is rising in the world, what else is rising in the world? You got the Jews going back there. One of my Jewish doctors stopped in the middle of an examination of me. He said, "You guys are the best friends we have in the world." Who's he talking about? He's talking about evangelical Christians. And just talking about what the world uses Christians. He's talking about evangelical, probably / charismatic Christian. You get all kind of definitions in there. Now, he couldn't have stated that when he was a kid, because he didn't believe that. But he's seeing the proof in the pudding today. Because as this is happening, You're in a time warp here. You're in a transition time. It says they will praise the name of the Lord. That has begun in Israel. That has begun. Now, is it where it's going to be? No. But God is moving that as He's bringing them back to that place and drawing them. Those who were scattered are now becoming gathered. Hit dog holler. Remember that. You look at the rabbis in Israel today, and by their defensive posture, from messianics, from evangelicals, and that is rising to them in their midst. So what does that tell you that they see as happening? That they're seeing that happen. You can listen to a dozen of these guys online. In fact, I listened to one guy that was just ripping us. And he's a rabbi there in Israel. Who was the guy that we listened to? The musician that came here and Rowan Shalom. Did you see what happened to him? That's right, he fell off the wagon. He got back to Israel. Those rabbis you're talking about got a hold of him and said, look, no, you can't do this. They applied the pressure on his family. They applied financial pressure. They did all these kind of things. So he would recant his belief in Yeshua. Of course they were fearful. I mean, go back and read. Roberta Buck found out that her mother was Jewish, changed her name, didn't want to tell anybody about that for fear of that, for fear of what was going on in the world then. And then you look at what's going on now. And remember this God, not God thing that I give you all the time. I mean, this is not God's stuff. It hadn't gone away. It continues, and it continues. But let me ask you this. How do your radical Shiites see, they see me standing here, evangelical Christian, and they see a Jew in Savannah that's, say, at Mikv Israel. They see us standing together. How does the Shiite, the radical Shiite, see us? They see us the same. They see us the same. Now, there's a little picture. We read ahead and we see what God is going to do. He is bringing His people back, and there's coming a time when they will praise the name of Yahweh in Israel. They will say, Yahweh, my Elohim, my one and only God. Verse 28, and it'll come about that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. We didn't even get to this today. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the male and the female servants, I will pour out my spirit on those days. And I think it's interesting. 1 minute. It's interesting that here that he's saying in these two verses that there's no distinguishing between sex, age, or social position, and we're seeing this grafted in thing. We're seeing that we're coming to a time where we truly are going to be united. Our brothers and sisters, our Jewish brothers, are going to embrace Yeshua as the one true Messiah, and we are going to embrace them and see that we truly are the ones grafted in, and we will be one family. Those two joined together. Speaks of that in the Old Testament. Those two joined together. It's a beautiful picture. I'll stop there. I hope I've stirred you up enough today that you'll go back to Joel and say, man, I'm reading the morning news right here before my very eyes. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that we get to be a part of what you're doing in the earth in these days. We bless your name. You are Yeshua HaMashiach.